Again, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for the service today. I just wanted to take a moment just to say thank you for all those who have shared and spoken today. They are inviting us into their hearts, into this experience, and the challenge of what it's like to go through and to survive and to live through the impact of cancer. And it's just profound. It's powerful to really hear how God works through all these situations. So again, I just want to thank everyone who shared for sharing their hearts. And even if you haven't shared it here, I know there's so many of us who have gone through this and lost loved ones, and you've invited us into your life. You've allowed us to serve you. You've served as you've been going through challenges and suffering yourself. And again, we just want to thank you because it really helps us to see how we live and operate as a family, no matter what we're going through, and that this is not just a building, this is not just an organization, but it truly is God's people and God's family. Amen. And so today we're going to be looking in Exodus chapter 14. Verse 10 through 16. Let's pray and let's look at how this scripture can kind of help connect us together even more as we become more aware about cancer and the challenges in our life and how to go through it together as family. Let's pray together as we start. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for the ways that you work in our life, God, for the ways that sometimes, you know, we don't know what's going on. We didn't expect a lot of these things, God. But again, you change us, God, and you shape us, God, and help us to be different, Father. And you help us to draw near to you, God, and you expose the relationships in our life that help us, Father. We're so grateful, God, that you are with us on this journey. That when we are sick, when we are hurting, and when we feel broken, God, you have not discarded us, God, but you have, if anything, you have gathered us even closer, God. You have found value in us, God, and you have surrounded us, God, with relationships and people and love to help us go through every challenge that we experience. We love you, God. We thank you so much, God. We pray that these scriptures allow us to see you, God, and connect to you in a deeper way and connect to each other in a deeper way as well. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 through 16, we'll read there. And the context of course, it's a well-known history of the Israelites, is that they're fleeing Egypt, they're fleeing slavery, God has freed them, and as they're leaving, Pharaoh and Egypt have kind of realized that they're losing this workforce, and so they're going after them, and of course, this produces a lot of conflict for the Israelites, and it picks up in verse 10 of chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And of course, if you continue to read, you know what happens. Right, and they're able to pass through the sea on dry ground, and the Lord takes away their opposition. But when you look at this situation, I think you see a people who are so afraid, and rightly so, right? There's this powerful world force at the time, this incredible, intimidating army chasing down these people who are just shepherds and farmers and merchants. You know, and this formidable, intimidating enemy was marching fast upon them. They had nowhere to go. Nowhere to run, literally stuck between a rock and a hard place, right? With an army behind them and a sea in front of them, they had nowhere they could go. Nowhere to hide without hope of winning. And I think in times in life, particularly as those of us who have experienced cancer in our life and the lives of our family, I think we can feel this way, right? We can feel like, what's going on, right? I feel trapped. Even like what, I appreciate Sam sharing that, like, man, is God punishing me? Why is this happening? And I think in these times of fear and in these times of difficulty and conflict, I think reasoning and logic can go out the window. Emotions can run rampant. And you can see that in the people, right? As they saw this conflict, as they saw this challenge, they cried out. But it wasn't a healthy crying out, right? It wasn't like they were praying in faith. Of course, because the Lord rebukes them later. Why are you crying out, right? So it wasn't a faithful prayer, right? And it says in even other places in Psalms that it was a rebellious crying, right? And they were opposing God. And even though God was laying out a plan of faith and a plan to rescue them and deliver them, they were grumbling and crying out to God and like, God, why did you take us from slavery? Right? And you can see, again, you see the emotion running rather than than their faith really leading them. And of course, you know, like it says, that the Lord rebukes them. Why are you crying out to me? And you can see in their response that they weren't guided by reason. And I think fear causes us to do weird things. Fear causes us to lash out, causes us to buck people who are helping us and push people away and to be angry, to be frustrated, and to do things that we look back and we think, man, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I don't know if you've ever been there before, but when you're in this kind of place of pain and hurt and in confusion, it's just so difficult. And this is not an unusual thing, right? But Moses reminds them, you know, as they're going through these challenges, as they're going through these difficulties, and they're facing these emotions that are just destroying their faith, destroying their community, causing them to freak out, Moses reminds them, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Right? And then the standing firm is this idea of like having faith. It's not this idea of like, don't do anything, just stand there, just wait. But idea of, man, have faith. God, that the Lord will fight for you. Right? And that's what I want to look at today. We're just going to look at one simple idea. He will fight for you. He will fight for you. Right? That's the one idea that I want you guys to leave with today, that God, the Lord is fighting for you. A lot of times in ways that we don't even expect. Right? Like Sam, through his sister, through as we go through cancer, sometimes the relationships that surface, that serve us and help us, and God, through all of that, is fighting for you as you struggle, as you go through difficult times. And whether it's cancer or whether it's any difficulty in life where we feel overwhelmed, and we feel like we're battling, we're fighting, man, God is fighting for you. And we gotta have faith, we gotta believe, we gotta trust that the Lord is fighting for us in the midst of all the difficulty. You know, too often, and the fact of the matter is God is not only fighting for us, but because God is fighting for us, he's already won, right? I mean, he predicts it in Exodus 14. He lays out his plan, even the beginning of Exodus, right? The victory is already won. But the challenging thing is too often God has won the battle, and yet we remain where we are, afraid to claim the victory. I appreciate Tamika sharing that quote from This Is Us. You know, it's a great show. I only watched first episode, and there's too much crying. Personally, for me, in response, and so I stopped watching. I don't know if cathartic means feeling really sad and crying all the time, but that's how I felt. But I appreciate the quote of this idea that, you know, we're so afraid of dying sometimes that we don't live, right? And I think the Lord has won the victory, but I think sometimes claiming the victory is harder for us than taking a loss, right? You know, it's funny, even in my own life, you know, I know I'm going to Delaware, and some of you have made threats and things like that, but, you know, it was funny, even before I knew I was going to Delaware, I was actually, it would have been easier for me to get a call that was, hey, you know what, we found somebody else. I was really prepared for that, right? More than, hey, we want you to come. I didn't know what to do with that, you know, and it's funny, even as I announced it here, I was more prepared for everyone to boo me off stage and say that we didn't want you here anyway. You know, and that sounds funny, but I think there are times in life where we're so afraid of God winning for us. We don't claim the victory. We don't have the faith, and we lose it. And because God will fight for you, I want us to leave with this one practical thing. Because the Lord will fight for you, and you need only be still, the one thing we need to do as we leave here is we need to keep moving forward. Because the Lord is fighting for us, we need to keep moving forward. You know, there's a lot of nuggets, there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of insight in this passage. Read through it again, but the one thing I want to key on is in verse 15, you know, the Lord rebukes them and says, why are you crying out to me? Why are you grumbling? Why are you rebelling? Right? And he says, tell the Israelites to move on. Right? And this word move on is a powerful word. It's actually a really ancient word in Hebrew, and it's nasa. And the Hebrew word means to pull out or to pull up. And you're like, man, how did that become move on? But it actually has its roots in the nomadic past of the Israelites. And as they would create communities and move from one place to another, when it was time to move on, they would say, let's nasa, let's pull up the tent poles, let's pull up the tent pegs. And that would be, and then that word became a word to mean, let's move on. Let's pull things up, right? Let's keep moving. And it's a word that God uses actually to describe Abraham as he leaves his home and trusts God and follows his promise. It's this word that's used time and time again in the Old Testament to talk about people who've picked up and leave and trust God. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to pick things up, because I think sometimes in life we settle in a community of fear. And the population is us, right? We camp out in our doubt. You know, and we've secured the tent pegs, we've laid down our beds, and we're ready to stay there, and we're stuck, right? But if God is fighting for us, we got to be ready to pick up and move, to keep moving forward. God gives us the ability to move forward. I appreciate Melanie sharing this idea that there's this weight that's holding down the pages of her writing. Man, what powerful and creative words, right? But I think there are times in life where we face challenge, we face trial, we face some shift or some change that holds us down, and we can't turn the page. We can't pull up the tent pegs. We can't move from this desolate place that we don't even like. I don't know if you know what it's like, but I've been there, and I know you guys have been there too. To feel the weight so heavy you can't lift it. But you know what? You don't have to lift it, because God is fighting for you. And God is lifting this weight from you. What does it mean for you to keep moving forward? I want you to talk about that this week. What does it mean for me to pick up my tent, to leave and go and to explore and to trust that God will fight? If God fights for me, what battle can I win? If God fights for me, what battle is there a battle I cannot win, right? Because he fights for me, you actually don't have to seek revenge anymore, because we have a God that's trustworthy. Because he fights for you, you actually don't have to run anymore. You can have confidence to face your struggle. You can face the truth. Because God fights for you, you can love fully without being afraid. No matter what hurt you've experienced, you can put your heart out there again. Because God fights for you, you can pursue change in your life. No matter how big or how difficult or how pervasive or how the rest of the world doesn't think you can change, you can pursue that change in your life because God fights for you. You can leave your sin. Because God fights for you, you can face prejudice and still love others through it. Because God fights for you, you can oppose hate, not with more hate, but with love. Because God fights for you, you can face persecution faithfully. Because God fights for you, you can handle criticism because you're unafraid of the truth and you're unafraid of the lies. Because God fights for you, you can face your weakness because you know you serve a mighty God. Because God fights for you, you can face depression. You don't care about the stigmas. You don't care about what people think because God is fighting for you and you are valuable to him and he has won already. Because God fights for you, you can face sickness. Because God fights for you, you can face cancer. Because God fights for you, you can even face death. You no longer have to be afraid to die. You can have confidence to live, right? But the challenge for us is we've got to decide to be a people who move, who keep moving forward. Because the victory is won, but we can stay on the shore with an army waiting on one side and the sea on the other. And that becomes who we are. That's what shame, that's what sin wants to tell you, that you're characterized by the sea and the army. That's who you are. You're this person stuck between these two things or three things or whatever things you're stuck between. But God says, no, I fight for you. You no longer have to be characterized by the sea or the army behind you. You can be the one that crosses over on dry ground. You can cross over. God can defeat your enemies. There's no army. There's no force. There's no difficulty. There's no loneliness. There's no misunderstanding. There's no situation that God doesn't know and doesn't understand in your life that he cannot free you from, that he cannot just crush and be victorious over. He can part the seas in your life, right? We got to keep moving forward. Amen. But we don't have to stand on the shores. We don't have to stand, and we do not have to be afraid of the water. God will part it. God will remove the obstacles in front of us. But you have to decide to move forward. He is waiting for you to take the first step. Today, let's be people. If you don't know God's promise, if you don't know how and why God fights for you, then I challenge you to learn about who God is, to dig into his word, to start to decide, I need to start studying the Bible. I need to know who God is so I can follow him and know how he fights for me. Man, if we're reading the Bible, then man, let's make time to spend time with God every day. Let's trust. Let's not let the armies behind us cause us to freak out and not make time to spend with our God. If there's sin in your life, confess it, because your God fights for you. And there's not a sin in your life that he would that God would stop loving you because of that sin or stop fighting for you. We can go after apology. We can seek forgiveness. If there's a dream that you have, you can go after it because God fights for you. If there's a challenge you face, go after it because God fights for you. Go after the dreams that God has put in your heart. If there's a faith that you want to share, if there's people you want to impact in your community, talk about your God. God is fighting for you in these times. I pray that today has been inspiring for you as you hear about the experiences in people's lives, as they face tremendous difficulty. This has not been just for them to praise and to lift up themselves, but to really show us and to share with us how God fights for us and how God has fought for them, how God has used you in their life to fight for them. And how God has put people in your life who God is using to fight for you as well. Let's be a people who remember that God is fighting for us. And let's keep on moving forward. Amen. You know, in honor of those who have gone through cancer and faced these challenges, we've actually put together this. Meyer Brooks has painted this incredible painting. And it's an opportunity for us to be a part of just encouraging and lifting up those who have gone through cancer. And here are a ton of colors in each of the amen, it's beautiful. And the colors, I'm sure, represent all the different types of cancers that we can encounter and face. But it's an opportunity for us to sign and write a message to lift others up, whether it's a scripture or just a note or just our names. But it's an opportunity for us to practice what it's like to be part of the challenges, what it's like to be part of the solution. All right, and so this will be in the lobby. So after service, I encourage you to come together to pray, to sign this. And this will be a great encouragement and a reminder for how we come together and how God uses each of us in this battle, in the battles that we face together. Amen? Let's be a people who remember that God fights for us. Let's keep on moving forward. Let's pull those pent tags up. Let's cross the sea on dry ground. And let's see the powerful miracles that God will do among us. Amen?